Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A focus on the past and on the present on today's program. We'll talk about the important history of the Federal District Court in St. Louis. But before that, we'll put our spotlight on the present and an effort to burnish St. Louis's reputation as an important entrepreneurial environment. That effort comes through a Washington University student-led program that advises and inspires entrepreneurs to start and maintain businesses in St. Louis. It's called BALSA, and it spawned a spinoff group called BALSA Foundation. With us to talk about BALSA are Maxime Schillebakes, founder of the BALSA Group and executive director of the BALSA Foundation. Brett Marrick is president of the BALSA Group and a PhD candidate at Washington University. Patrice Hill is an entrepreneur and BALSA Foundation grant recipient. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maxime, let me begin with you and just ask you to give us the distinction between the BALSA Group and the BALSA Foundation.
Right. So the BALSA Group is currently directed at companies in St. Louis that are in the life science and biotechnology space. And the BALSA Group provides strategic advising to these companies for a small nominal fee in exchange. Whereas the BALSA Foundation is entirely free of charge and supports budding entrepreneurs at that early stage of idea formation and business formation, both in the nonprofit and for-profit space.
Brett, let me turn to you now to talk about the need for such an organization or organizations, I guess I should say, in this St. Louis area.
Sure. There's really two needs that the BALSA Group is working to fulfill right now. As you mentioned, St. Louis is sort of a hub for entrepreneurship right now. And so there's really a vast number of companies in the area who are trying to get their businesses off the ground using limited funds and limited resources. So the BALSA Group is really working to provide a support system for, you know, entrepreneurs in the community who need strategic advising, who need a little bit of consulting work. The second need that we're fulfilling is one that many graduate students and postdoctoral fellows face. In our training as PhD students or as postdoctoral trainees, we really focus on an academic track. We really train ourselves to become academic scientists. And so transitioning into a career that's not behind the bench is often difficult. And the BALSA Group serves to give people an opportunity to gain some of the soft skills that you might need to transition into a career in business or the business of science.
One of the things that occurs to me is the fact that we're talking about young people who have limited experience themselves, and yet they're working in an advisory capacity. I think that might be an issue.
So the way we tackle that is through kind of a hierarchical structure of our teams, where we take individuals who've worked on many projects before and put them in a leadership role. So thereby, you know, giving them the chance to share their experience in the business world with you know, newer consultants on our teams. And so people like myself and Maxime, who've worked on, you know, 10 or 15 projects at this point, can really share their knowledge. In the early days, companies were taking a risk by working with us, but I think, you know, by really focusing on giving, you know, high quality work in return for you know, a small fee, we kind of grew our reputation just by showing that we could produce, you know, quality work.
Patrice, I'm going to turn to you in a moment and talk about how this has helped you, but I want to turn back to Maxime because, Maxime, you mentioned that you're charging nominal fees for the kind of advice that you're giving. But those nominal fees have apparently added up because we're talking many, many dollars that have been raised through this this project.
That's right. So as we operate, we're all volunteers for the organization. As members, we just work for the experience. But to ensure that incentives are aligned, we are charging that nominal fee. And we see it as a way to further our development of the members, as well as giving it back to the community. So about a year ago, some of the members came together looking for ways that we can leverage this revenue generated from these clients to better support the community here in St. Louis and really help those individuals that might not directly have access to the types of services that BALSA and other great organizations in St. Louis provide. And that really is what inspired the formation of the BALSA Foundation. And so a majority of that revenue or a significant portion of that revenue is now directed to the foundation to serve as grants and operational budgets for the foundation.
Tell us how much you've earned.
So I think I'll let Brett answer that question.
Sure. So to date, we've worked with about 75 companies in the last 4 years. That's over 100 projects that we've completed, and I think we've just reached about $100,000 in revenue over those 4 years. And our operating budgets are fairly low, so a lot of that money is left, you know, to do things like support the Balsa Foundation.
All right. Well, let's turn to Patrice now, because you've been a beneficiary of all of this. Weigh in on your experience with it and how you got associated with it.
Well, I came to the attention of the Balsa Group by way of Better Family Life. I was actually there working in a program where they were trying to assist me as me being an entrepreneur. Being as how I had no clue as to how to get my name out there because I had no funds. Bottom line, you know, I didn't have a lot of money to do what it was I was trying to do. And so I called her my partner, Nee Lupanth. She's at Better Family Life. She said, I know these people. They're called the Balsa Group, and I think you would be a really good fit for them. So she introduced me to Maxime, and I went to meet him and a few of the other guys over at Tech Artista. I guess he can give you a little bit more detail about that, but they told me what it was about. And I had to do a business plan and present myself to them. And they said, this is what you do with your business. You have to talk about yourself, what it is you're doing, and make people interested. So they said, it's good if you're interested, but you want other people to be interested in what it is you're doing. And so when doing that, I had to do the business plan, as I said, and then I had to do a presentation. And after the presentation, they awarded the grants, and I was one of the recipients of one of the grants. So with that, I am going to be able to get a little bit of help with marketing my brand and myself, and I'm really appreciative of it.
We'll give you a little help in your marketing right now. What is it you do?
I am a jewelry artisan, and my jewelry line is called Inali. That's I-N-A-L-I, jewelry designs. And I basically take old things and give them new life. Repurpose materials, be it leather, denim, even old jewelry pieces. And I just repurpose them into one-of-a-kind creations for those people that like to be a little bit different and ahead of the curve. And that's what I do.
Where are you now in this whole development of your business?
Well, my pieces, of course, I continue to create. We're working on web design so that I have my own inclusive web page versus the one I have on Instagram and Facebook. So I want one that is just exclusively for Inali. So that's what we're working on now, and doing a little bit more marketing. And that's where I am right now.
That's where you are. And Maxime, this whole social media thing, which Patrice has just alluded to, has got to be a big part of the kinds of advice that you're giving people. Make use of what's out there and doesn't cost very much.
Absolutely. How the foundation's program works is entrepreneurs that are just starting out, like Patrice, provide a small one-page application that describes their passion, their idea, and their plan, really just to tell their story. And right away, within a couple weeks, we have three or four Balsa members that provide this hands-on advice on all aspects, from just working on the application per se to things they need to consider for their business idea. And that's where Patrice started out.
Yes.
And she worked on that plan a bit more over the course of a few weeks and submitted it finally for review and grant consideration. Mm-hmm. And so through that feedback, we provide them support on all aspects, from social media and marketing, as you mentioned, to just strategic positioning.
How many people have you worked with and are working with right now?
That's a great question. So this past fall, for about a month and a half, we supported 27 different entrepreneurs, all in St. Louis, with ideas from startups in for-profit and nonprofit sectors. So we're looking to scale that up and continuing that this spring.
Brett, do you find the people, or do they find you, or is it the combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. I think we put a lot of effort into maintaining relationships with clients that we've worked with in the past. And so that they serve as really great advocates for Balsa. and sort of help us find new clients in the community. But we also spend a lot of time going out, participating in different entrepreneurship events and talking about what we're doing. In terms of our members and our consultants, they also find us. So we hold some regular informational sessions. We maintain a website that individuals can go and apply to become consultants. And generally speaking, people are mainly coming to Balsa to get involved.
Does the nucleus of your operation change or turn over fairly regularly because of your student population?
It does, yeah. We turn over every year. So we have an executive team of about 8 individuals who are all PhD students or postdocs. And every year, every April, we turn over the leadership. And this is actually a great function of Balsa. It gives people an opportunity to get involved with the group and then potentially take on a leadership role. And it's not just running a student organization. We're really running a company here where revenue is something that's important to us, and maintaining good client relationships is really something that we, you know, put a lot of effort into. So it's great experience for the people involved.
Maxime, how does the university look upon this commercial effort right under its nose?
Well, the university has been incredibly supportive of what the Balsa Group does. A point of distinction, however, is to say that early on, we incorporated in the state of Missouri as a nonprofit entity. So we're not directly affiliated with Washington University, and are not disposed to their preferences. But that being said, our advisory board consists of faculty and deans at Washington University that help participate and position us to leverage Washington University as well as the broader community. So we've worked really closely with the university leadership to ensure that we continue to grow and can have a positive impact here in the community.
Patrice, where would you be right now if it weren't for Balsa?
Probably still trying to figure out how I could make myself more known in St. Louis, which is what I was really trying to do. With the assistance of the Balsa Group, it has helped me a lot. I'm going to make mention of the actual website for the Balsa Foundation because it has a lot of how-to points on there that are really good for people who are in positions like me, who are small businesses trying to make it. It has a very good user-friendly how-to roadmap on there that tells you step-by-step the things that you need to do in order to get your business established and moving. And that is what I used in order to make my presentation, and with the feedback that I received when I initially sent in the first application, like Maxime said, you know, the people read it and they do give you a lot of detailed feedback, you know. So, you know, I had to kind of build a little bit of a thick skin. Some of them were good. And then one guy, I say it's a guy, but I'm really not too sure, you know, gave me that feedback that I really needed to give me that extra push. And so he said to separate yourself. There are a lot of people out there that do jewelry. What makes you different? So that's what I focused on. And I think that is what helped me to become one of the recipients from the foundation back in December.
What did you do? What did?
Basically, I'm talking about the fact that I am eco-friendly, that my pieces are one of a kind, that I am ahead of the curve, and that I am Northside born and raised. Uh-huh. And that is where I want to be, and I want people to know that, yes, you can be in the city of St. Louis and be known. You don't have to go to, you know, what they consider the bigger cities on the different coast. I'm Missouri born and raised, and that's where I would like to stay.
That's Patrice Hill, who is with us. She's an entrepreneur, as you just heard, in the city of St. Louis, and she took advantage of the services provided by the Balsa Group and Balsa Foundation, which works out of Washington University. It's a student-led organization which helps entrepreneurs in our area. We'll come back and continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to get into it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL On Air. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the entrepreneurial environment in St. Louis and the role played by the Balsa Group out of Washington University in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Members of the group Missourians Organizing for Reform and Empowerment will release a report later today on St. Louis County's municipal courts. The court system has emerged as an issue that, in the wake of Ferguson, is used as an example of entrenched beliefs about race in the region. Last week, a committee made up of judges, prosecutors, and attorneys released its own list of proposed improvements to the county's municipal court system. The St. Louis Zoo Museum District's Board of Directors is meeting today and is expected to discuss a new code of ethics policy. Board members have debated the issue for months, some saying changes are needed in order to be more accountable to taxpayers. Others say the new policy is not strong enough. And a Missouri House committee is meeting at this hour to discuss various ethics proposals, including a cooling-off period before lawmakers can become lobbyists, limits on gifts from lobbyists, and increased reporting requirements. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about the Balsa Group and Balsa Foundation with Maxime Schillebakes, founder of the Balsa Group, executive director of that foundation. Brett Marrick is president of the Balsa Group. He's a PhD candidate at Washington University. And Patrice Hill is an entrepreneur from whom you just heard. Patrice, you said you were going to give us the website. You didn't do that, but why don't you just mention it now? If you have it, we'll put a link to it on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Are you talking about the Balsa?
Well, you said you wanted to give the Balsa Foundation.
I believe it's just www.balsagroup.org.
Is that right?
Am I correct? Balsa Group.
Yeah, the Balsa Group. .org. And then the Balsa Foundation. .org is a separate website as well.
We'll put links on our website at stlpublicradio.org. One of the things that I find fascinating about what you're doing is an effort really to prevent what is commonly called the brain drain, and that is having young people with talent and ambition and ideas to stay here in St. Louis. Maxime, that's a big part of what you're doing, right?
Absolutely, and it's something we've come to recognize after the fact, in fact. The majority of the individuals that provide support to the entrepreneurs that are working with the foundation are actually not located in St. Louis anymore. As you might expect, students graduate from WashU and SLU and UMSL, and many of whom move away from St. Louis. I don't know the exact statistics, but just with the Balsa Group, I would say close to 50% of its members are no longer in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And that's at a cost to St. Louis as a city. And so to be able to leverage them and the knowledge that they've gained, and direct that back to St. Louis through the support of entrepreneurs is one way that we are fighting that brain drain that you mentioned.
And how is it working, Brett, in terms of...
I think we're doing a pretty good job so far. You know, one thing that we always kind of focus on is how do we make sure that the alumni of Balsa stay tied to the organization, not just to help our current members, but to make sure that, you know, the community here in St. Louis continues to prosper. And we've seen some really great engagement from folks that were involved with Balsa, you know, at day one, as well as people who were involved just this past year, you know, really, really engaging some of the folks that have moved on to do all kinds of different things. People who have stayed in science, people who have gone on to work on Wall Street, people who are currently in business school, all staying tied into what we're doing here.
Yeah. Patrice, what have you learned through this process about the entrepreneurial spirit in St. Louis, which we've already identified as being very strong?
It is actually very strong, and there are a lot of people who are striving every day to make themselves known, make themselves be independent. You know, sometimes people want to work for themselves versus working for others. And with the Balsa Foundation and the Balsa Group, I think they play a very beneficial part in doing that. Also, I failed to mention a part of the prize, I guess, for lack of a better word, that I received was legal hours. I received 8 free legal hours. And so learning the business side, you know, with me being an artist, all I see is all the pretty. You know, I just want mm-hmm. to make, I want to create. But you have to have that business side. And this Balsa Group helps with that. You know, you sit down and you realize, oh, I need to make sure that if I'm not on top of my business, it doesn't matter if I'm making these pretty things. I can sit at home all day and do this, but you have to take care of that business side.
There's more to running a business than simply having an idea and
yes,
pretty things to sell.
Exactly.
Maxime, well, another of the things that I've noticed in terms of the consulting work that you've done is the fact that you've done it with some pretty high-profile major corporations in town. That caught me a little bit by surprise. I would have expected you'd be dealing more with people like Patrice who are young, getting started, and don't have the reputation of some of the companies you've worked with.
Right. So the Balsa Foundation is entirely focused on entrepreneurs like Patrice that are just getting started, mm-hmm. getting individuals from what we like to say 0 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour. But the Balsa Group, as you mentioned, has worked with individuals that might have an idea or a patent faculty at WashU or SLU that don't know where to start, all the way to those multinational corporations like Sigma and Monsanto here. Now, initially, when the Balsa Group was founded, we were entirely focused on the early stage companies that were around 0 to 5 years old that really are capital constrained and may not be able to afford consulting services. But the fact that we're able to work with Sigma and Monsanto really just attests to the high quality deliverables, the actionable deliverables that we as scientists are able to produce for these companies.
Yeah, that's a great testimony to what you're doing to have organizations like that. We have a caller here calling from North St. Louis. Her name is Edna, and she wants to ask a question, so let's have her do it. Go ahead, Edna, you're on the air.
Good morning to each of you. I have been designing curriculum for quite some time, let's say about 30 years. What I would like to know is whether or not if you help with investors or if I have an idea or have a product, I write books and things like that, do you place people with investors who see a product and say, this is something that I want to invest in?
Thanks, Edna. This gets us to the venture capital part of the process, I think. Brett, you want to take that?
Sure. So it's not a direct function of the Balsa Foundation. However, through our work, we really have interfaced with a lot of different groups in St. Louis that provide capital for entrepreneurs. And so as part of working with the Balsa Foundation and getting support, you have an opportunity to enter that network. And we do our best to link people with individuals that we think can help them push their businesses forward. And so investors would be included in that set of people that we have access to.
And that's really one of the goals of the Balsa Foundation is to that 20 miles per hour for us is getting entrepreneurs like Patrice ready to find capital on their own. So through the Entrepreneurs Roadmap, which is freely available online, there's a large section about funding opportunities in St. Louis to help connect those types of entrepreneurs. And for us, it's a success to see individuals go through our program and then raise additional funding.
Patrice, are you at 20 miles an hour yet? And is your objective 25 or 60?
Miles per hour.
Well, if we were doing the 0 to 20, I would say I'm probably at about 8 or 9 miles per hour right now. So I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
What people listening to this program, what do they have to do to try to get on the kind of track that Patrice is on? I mean, I know you have a winnowing process that you go through. What precisely is that, Maxime?
So the only real requirement is that you haven't raised $2,000 or more for your idea.
Have not.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we really wanted to be as inclusive as possible and not put people into specific categories or other. So that's why we are supporting anyone that really has a business idea that isn't a serial entrepreneur and hasn't raised money for their idea. And it's just as simple as that, so that we are accessible to everybody in the St. Louis area.
I'm not quite sure about this $2,000 cap. Why?
Well, we have to be quantitative about it because we saw a lot of variability from this past applicant pool of some groups that had raised a little bit of money or were seeding it themselves. And so we set that as a hard cut to make sure that we had a clear definition and could be completely objective about the eligibility requirements.
Did you want to add something? But can you give me any indication of how it's broken down in terms of the number of people who come to you and the number of people who are accepted to by you? Not everyone that comes, I'm sure, has a shot at your services.
So, in terms of the Balsa Foundation, we provide support to everyone. So, whether you're eligible or not to receive grant money, we still provide feedback on your application. So at the very least, you're getting you know, three or four individuals who are motivated and interested in helping, giving you their feedback on your idea. So that's kind of something that everyone will receive. I think we got about 35 applications this year, and then about 27 of those were eligible for grants. So most people that applied to the Balsa Foundation were eligible to compete for the grant money that we awarded. In terms of, just to speak a little bit about the Balsa Group, we conduct about 40 projects a year. That's kind of the level we're at right now. And I would say we're getting about 50 to 60, people or companies that come to us each year for projects. So we do have to be selective right now about which projects we work on, and we really try to select clients who are willing to take some time and help us learn as we're doing this work for them.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah,
obviously
it is.
That's the beauty, I guess, of the whole concept, right?
Right.
Anything you'd like to add before we have to say goodbye, Maxime? Anything you want people to know that we haven't discussed?
Well, as I mentioned, it's freely available to anyone. The support that we provide is in real time. Within 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get support. Really no questions asked. And so we really are looking forward to getting applications from those individuals that really could use the support.
It's a tough deal to beat. Patrice, anything you'd like to add?
Basically, anyone, if you're listening, check them out. Go to the website again, balsagroup.org, balsafoundation.org. It's really informative. Even if you don't apply, just follow the roadmap. It's really easy, and it helps a lot.
And final word from you, Brett.
I'd just like to point out that there's about 250 people that have, you know, worked with Balsa over the past 4 years, and it's not just the three of us sitting here who are doing this. It's a whole bunch of people who are motivated and talented in this city who are committed, and I think that's something to be celebrated. So
yes,
well, congratulations to all of you. It sounds like a fascinating project, and as you say, it works two ways, for the students and also for the people who want to get started in business. Maxime Schellebakes, I hope I have that right.
That's right.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Brett Merrick and Patrice Hill, thank you all for being with
thank
us.
You.
Good luck to you, Patrice, with your brand new business. Great to see you. Now, a look at the history of the Federal District Court of Eastern Missouri in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.